Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu, the Peter Yu. He's been away for a long time. He was in Korea, some surgeries. He looks like a K-pop star now.
Yeah, I'm trying to, get into the K-pop business. I heard it's pretty hot these days.
If you're listening and not watching this on a video platform, his forehead is shining. His hair looks full. I don't know how they did that, but Peter looks amazing. You look like you're 20 years old again.
Oh, man. I mean, it's amazing, the medical technology in Korea.
Yeah, I got to go to Korea. Get these, wrinkles taken care of on the forehead.
Oh, yeah. That's easy, man. That's not even an operation.
Dude, that's the dead giveaway for age when you have the forehead wrinkles. I don't really have the crow's feet yet. If I smile, I got it. But, it's not there when I'm not smiling, so it's good,
That's easy stuff, man. It's 30 minutes in and out. Nothing, Anyway, I'm back now. I spent 3 weeks with my family, went to Japan and everything. And spent a lot of time in Korea.
You did not grapple, correct?
No, I couldn't. What was too busy, and I was forbidden by the doctor.
Your hair looks great, though.
All right, thanks, fam. It'll grow out. Just to clarify, I got a transplant, so, I'm trying to normalize it. I've been telling everyone, it's not something, I don't want to, hide or anything.
They take your pubes and then put it on the head, right?
Yeah, basically that's what it is, So a lot of soccer players get it over the summer because they're off then. I was kind of, and then you're very public about it these days.
I'm just going to do normalize it. Normalize the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, if you are struggling, not you don't have to get it, but if you want to, it's pretty good now. So there's that. And then quick shout out to Levon and Jason, our biggest sponsors. Thanks for funding my transplant. I'm just kidding. Thanks for all the help and sponsorship. Yeah.
Yes. What are we talking about today?
Today we're thinking about going over Ashiwaza in general. I think some general concepts, and it's a very a lot of people are mesmerized by judo's Ashiwaza system. I think wrestlers and BJJ people. Last year when I was doing a lot of BJJ, it was like a thing, like a fad almost. Like everyone wanted to do the Daishi Barai,
the slide by Daishi.
Yeah,
so popular in Nogi. Let me tell you about Nogi, Daishis, and footsies, right? Yeah. The sweatier they get, the easier it is to hit it.
Mm-mm.
The less you have to time it.
I can see that,
Because even if the foot is weighted because of the sweat and the slipperiness of the surface, you could nail people with it.
Yeah.
So as long as the momentum is going in the right way, even if the leg is weighted, you could foot sweep them, which is kind of an interesting thing. It's hard to hit this right off the rip, when people are dry, and especially if you're not that good. Mm-hmm. But even if you're not that good at it, the sweatier you get later in the game, no-gi rounds or no-gi match, when slippage is involved, you don't even have to be that good at it and you can hit it, which is really cool. People are much more upright in Nogi too.
Right. Let's kind of go into the general concept of this. So talked about the momentum and, all that. So I feel like Ashiwaza looks very simple, but it's actually quite hard to master it. It takes a long time. So how do you usually approach it when you first teach people? Especially, now you're teaching judo at a BJJ school too, and, the no-gi stuff and all that. So how do you go about introducing Ashiwaza to beginners?
Okay, so I think there's two main factors, right? Yeah. Timing from the person who's doing it, and then the athleticism of the person who's getting it, right? Receiving. So people don't realize, a lot of great athletes are very, very good at staying on their feet. They're good balance, they're coordinated, their legs, they're running for soccer, right? They're playing soccer or something. Yeah. Someone slides underneath to attack the ball, they could jump over, stay on their feet. Mm. Even if their feet get clipped, they kind of catch their balance and keep running. Same with football, same with basketball. I think every sport you've ever played, athletic people are good at staying on their feet no matter what.
Yeah, right.
So, but if you get a very drunk person, when you're bouncing at a nightclub or something and someone's really drunk, it's very easy to footsie somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because their coordination's off, their balance is off. And if a person's not very athletic, it's a lot easier to take those guys down with footsies too.
Yeah.
So that's one portion of it. And the other portion is obviously timing. Understanding how the weight shifts from one leg to the other to catch your weight. Because these two legs, right, were bipedal animals. Did I say that right? Bipedal or bipedal?
Bipedal, yeah.
Bipedal, yeah, we're bipeds.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Different from moped.
Mopeds are fun. Yeah.
Bipeds, so we're shifting our weight from one leg to another in hopes of like the weight being caught with our legs underneath. You know?
Yeah.
If you're anticipating there to be a base and then someone takes that base out, you're going to lose your balance.
Right, right.
And how fast can you replace that balance with by slipping your leg out or something like this? Mm. You know, that, those kinds of things, you know, help you get toppled over.
Right.
It's like
right.
magic when you footsie somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like such a good feeling. Like it's so effortless if you get it right. So how do you drill that though? It's like it conceptually makes sense. Yeah. Of course. Like
conceptually makes sense.
How well does the other person balance him or herself, and how can you time it? Like it, but yeah. How do you even get to that point?
Nice. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
So when you're walking, right? So going back and forth and just trying to time the footstep, right? You ever like be running in gym class back in the day and you're running behind someone and you try to clip their feet
right
across to make them trip over their feet? You ever do that?
Yeah. Like you walk behind them and right?
You kick this foot into their own leg, but you have to time it so that your foot can make contact at the right time, right? You have to time it so that the foot is getting unweighted and then they're trying to bring their leg forward. See what I mean? So kind of like that, you're facing each other and you're going back and forth and then taking a rhythmic step. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sweep.
Like a dance class, like in dancing. Yeah.
So it's like sweep on 2, 1, 2, right? As a foot becomes off, like there's no weight on me.
Right.
So timing it in a coordinated fashion is the most important thing. You can do it front to back, side to side, and then you can do also a circle dashi where you're circling and attacking the feet.
Yeah.
This whole episode is a plug for my Ashwaza instructional on the link that'll be it's concise. It's like 10 to 15 minutes long. It's $20. Go check it out. But yeah, that's how you coordinate it. And very important to have a good partner to do this. Mm. If they're trying to keep their balance, their rhythm's going to be on.
Right.
If they're trying to time it for you, really learn the true timing in a coordinated sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But a good partner is everything when it comes to it.
I see. Yeah. So you basically start by just kind of walking together as a, you know, as partners, like just like dance class.
Yeah. So side to side and things like that. And then if your hips are really far back, then your legs can't reach.
Right.
Everyone has a different leg length, you know?
Yeah.
If you're really, really tall, you don't have to, a little bit more further away than if you were short. So you have to take those things into account, you know? And the more people you drill with, the more people you're going to kind of naturally understand.
Yeah.
Like where your hips are relative to your opponent. And how far you have to reach, you know, attack the leg to make contact with the leg.
Right.
So timing, hip placement and all that stuff and hips relative to your opponent, all these things play like a factor. And you could train on this too. That's the beauty of it.
I think that hip, your point about hip position is actually very interesting because what I noticed when I was training a lot of BJJ, a lot of people are trying to do the foot sweep, but they're kind of hunched over. So, you know, they're sweeping. The sweeping action wasn't as strong. I don't know if I'm describing it correctly, but so you kind of have to like get your hip engaged and then almost like sweep like you are not quite like a soccer kick, but you have to get your hip in. Yeah,
because hips are hinged backwards, right? It's very difficult to apply a lot of force. Think about kicking a soccer ball really far. You got to have your hips forward.
Right.
Think about kicking a Muay Thai kick or something. You have to have your hips engaged.
Yeah.
So there's sort of like a little bit of an interplay if you're doing no-gi stuff or even shooting on the legs, like faking the shot, and then the person changing levels, threaten the front headlock, snap down, front headlock, snap down, so they're much more upright now.
Yeah.
They don't want to get, you know, guillotine choked or snap down if you're in a wrestling context. So now they're taking more of an upright position.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And now your hips are much closer relatively, and you can access their feet a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting trend because... Does that not happen in gi BJJ? Like,
oh, it does. Yeah, you snap them down, and they start posturing. The problem with gi BJJ is, you know, a lot of people just pull guard. Once you're able to connect, it's easy to pull guard, and it's very sticky. You know, yeah, you can pull guard in no-gi as well, but you know, it's a little bit different. You know,
I see.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a sidetrack, but would you not recommend working on Ashwaza if you're focusing on gi BJJ?
I mean, that wouldn't be the first thing, right? Knowing how to pass properly or like retain guard. I think, you know, if you're doing BJJ, those are more important skills to have.
I see.
If you don't have any jiu-jitsu basics and you're just working on foot sways, you'd probably be better off just doing judo.
Right.
Stand up. You know, I think with jiu-jitsu, because, you know, you could develop a very sophisticated ashiwaza game, foot sweep game, but the moment they pull guard, all that stuff's kind of out the window, right? Because now you have to enter into a new position, which is a ground position, open guard, or close, whatever it is, you know? So you don't get the best ROI on your time.
Right.
And since judo, a lot of the guys are very, very, you know, sophisticated in the way they attack and defend.
Mm.
So you can play this much more sophisticated stand-up game.
Yeah.
You know? So like different reactions, the proper reactions, all the different lines of defenses that you may encounter, you can kind of take advantage of it and exploit it from like a strategical standpoint.
Right.
But if you're doing jiu-jitsu and these guys don't have any of those reactions, like for instance, if they've never seen a turn throw, and then you fake the turn throw, they're not really going to react because they don't know that the risk is getting bumped.
Yeah, yeah.
So like if you want to like go, you know, chest to chest, upper body, fake a turn throw, and they try to back out, and then you put hit a dashi, that's wonderful. But if you fake a turn throw, they don't react, like they're still pushing into you, now that same dashi is not there. Mm-hmm. Might as well just go for a turn throw then.
Yeah, you just keep doing, yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, I got to tell you, like even with jiu-jitsu, like as you're doing it and then as you're competing, being a threat on your feet, it's a big one. People look at you differently. Right. People are much more likely to pull guard. If you're very good at top game, if they pull guard, that's great because your top game is amazing.
Yeah. You know?
I think it's worth learning, even if you're doing BJJ.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff in wrestling. Obviously, judo, that's where the majority of the stuff I learned from, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty good stuff.
But no-gi is a different story, you're saying, because you can't really pull guard. I mean, what happens? Because you can pull guard.
No, you can definitely pull guard. But, like, with gi, you could, like, have a collar sleeve and then pull guard, right? The moment you're within touching distance, you could grab a sleeve and pull guard. Right? Yeah. And now it's stuck, where you're stuck there. They throw their leg over for a lasso or whatever it is.
Yeah.
With no-gi, you can't just, like, touch them and then pull guard, right? Because, you know, there's rules against that kind of a thing. You know, you
can have
I mean, maybe you can. You know, I'm not like a no-gi rules expert.
Yeah.
It depends on the rule set. Depends on the organization that's running it. But with gi, it's a lot stickier, you know?
Right.
That's why it makes it so hard to like shoot in.
Mm.
You know, because within reach, you get within arm's reach, someone grabs you. Now, that pulse is not going anywhere.
Mm.
As opposed to if they're doing that same pulse with their open hands on your shoulder, you could obviously pop it off and shoot underneath the arms, right?
Mm.
If they're grabbing the gi, you can't just pop it off.
Right.
You know? And then when you're grabbing the gi, you have a lot of control and you can pull them with time foot sweeps.
Mm.
Pull their head down a lot more, right? With no gi, the moment they back out, now you can't really force them to move a certain way.
Right.
You could feint the shot, then you could work the head a little bit. But if they're out of like just a little bit out of arm's reach, like if your arms are extended, you can't make the same purchase on their upper body to force their legs to move a certain way.
Right.
If that makes any sense, huh?
Yeah. So let's bring that back to judo now. Like, so how would you recommend integrating ashiwaza into people's games? Because you generally don't teach ashiwaza right away to beginners, right? Like you usually teach.
I'll teach the room.
Well, I guess that also Togari is ashiwaza. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, if the room is intermediate to advanced, then I'll just teach it and then beginners will be there. You know, that's not the best thing to do from a business standpoint, I think, but you know, whatever, right? With the foot sweeps, I think there's a couple components to it that I talk about in my video, ashiwaza instructional. Number one, being able to do this in a coordinated fashion, like I told you, front, back, side to side in the circle fashion and understanding those, right? You're looking at outside to inside foot sweeps where you're sweeping the foot inwards, and then now you're looking at foot sweeps that are going outside.
Yeah.
You know? Like Kochi.
Yeah.
Ochi is a little bit different. Ochi Osoto are a little bit different. We're mostly talking about like...
Like the timing, based.
The timing oriented one. Ochi, you could put that leg in and force stuff from there. Because you kind of attack a position. Osoto position locked in, that's a position, you know? But like a Kochi position, it's not sticky enough. It's not going to be staying there forever. Yeah. Unless you do a Kochi Makikomi.
Yeah.
Whole other animal.
Right. You know what I mean?
So learning how to time this stuff in a coordinated way, learning all the different combinations of this, looking for Kosoto, then attacking the Dayashi as they're shifting their weight backwards, right? Ochi, they're trying to hop out of it and the weight's going away from the front leg and then you're attacking that trailing leg, you know? Missing a beat and attacking the other leg, Ochi, they put their foot down and you're driving him and then you're sweeping the other leg, you know, all this stuff. And then how to finish these foot sweeps as well. Because usually if they see it coming, they understand it's coming. As it's happening, they're like, oh my God, I have to like unhook my leg and bait myself.
Mm.
So understanding where the leg goes up and over and then trying to time that.
Right. Right.
So I talk about the finishing mechanics of the Hashiwaza as well. I think that's where most advanced intermediate guys sort of separate in part ways. Like an advanced guy knows how to finish these things. The intermediate guy can time it, but they can't really finish it if they don't time it perfectly.
I see. You know? So, and then obviously you, so there's a statement I've heard a lot throughout the years that foot sweeps are like the jab of judo. Do you still agree with that statement? Like, I know I've heard that being thrown around a lot. Like, what do you feel about that statement?
I mean, kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
Because jab can be so many things, right? Jab is like, you can feint the jab, go to the body, feint the jab, and parry, then hit him with the other hand. You know, you could throw the jab out there to manage distance. I don't think you could, it's as useful, you know, because, I don't know, maybe. I mean, it's a good entry point into stuff, right? If you create movement and then attack the feet and off balance them, then a lot of the bigger stuff will open up, you know? If you're showing the big turn throws and they're reacting a certain way, you could attack the feet a little bit more. I don't think the jab is like an analogy, but maybe, you know? Maybe.
I guess in the sense that to set up bigger turn throws, the jab, because I think the point was that the jab can set up for a bigger hook or a straight, I guess, but...
Yeah, I guess you're not, but you know, you don't knock people out with a jab.
Yeah, exactly. I think, but then you
knock
can
someone down with a foot sweep.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. All right.
You could kind of make the argument like, all right, what are the Hashiwaza like? It's like the pawns of the game, chess game, very important. Together, they're very strong structurally if they're, you know, organized in a certain way.
Right.
Pawn structure is a big one, you know. But there's always flaws to these kind of analogies, you know. But yeah, maybe.
In certain
sense, I wouldn't
sense,
go too literal or take that, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, okay, fine. Jab, foot sweeps are like jabs in judo. Great. But
right.
Yeah. You know,
so we've been focusing a lot on the feet, you know, how the legs and, you know, the lower body should work with Hashiwaza. But personally, I think how you control the upper body while you're doing the performing on Hashiwaza is also important. Not, you know.
Yeah.
Just as important. So can you kind of touch on that aspect? I don't know if you covered that in your video, but...
Yeah, definitely. I do talk about hand positioning.
Yeah.
If you're winning in position, you can control their posture more. You can control their head a little bit more, which makes it easier to finish, right?
Yeah.
Think about, like, if you're attacking the feet and then moving their feet across their body, and you have a control of their head and you can club their head to the opposite direction, it's a lot easier to take someone down with that foot sweep than if you're holding off their hips.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's an extreme example.
Right.
So having the ability to move their head while your opponent can't really move your head because you're winning in hand position, that's like a great thing to be able to do. And then how to try to time the person by shifting their weight from leg to leg and then attacking the feet. And then once you attack the feet, how to try to shift their weight back onto that leg that you just took out is another skill. You know,
and
we talk a little bit about that in the video as well. I'll tell you, it's 10 to 15 minutes. Everything I'm talking about in concise ways and how to drill it and then bang, 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 you know?
Right.
So it's pretty
cool. Yeah. Check it out, guys.
Yeah, check it out. There's also like you can do attack the feet in a way where you don't have to time it as much when there's weight on the leg too.
Yeah.
You know? So we talk a little bit about the
like
sticker
the sticky,
foot dayashi.
That's
what some people call it. And some people also call it, I like to call it the heel hook dayashi because you're like heel hooking the guy. You're a little bit more dangerous. But, you know, this is much more common in right versus left.
Yeah.
And right versus left is amazing because your attacking leg, essentially you're pointing at each other. It's so close, right?
Right.
So you have to be able to attack that lead leg somehow. And a lot of people don't have an attack to that lead leg, you know, and that in that case, it's definitely like a jab, right?
Right. To open up more.
Yeah, open up more. And then,
well, you can still finish the fight.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. So, which is a little more unlikely with a jab, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that was a good overview of the Hashiwaza. And if you guys want more visual aid and, you know, more details on how to practice and execute these throws, check out Shintaro's new instructions. Where can people find that?
I mean, honestly, you don't even have to buy the instructors. I've done so many Hashiwaza videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
So if you type in Shintaro Higashi, foot sweeps, Hashiwaza, all the you have tons of videos, right? But the thing about that is that it's all free, you know, and the links are probably linked there. it's not as concise and it doesn't follow sort of a flow to understand the whole picture. You know, like I teach this one foot sweep, I teach that one foot sweep, I teach this combination to hit this foot sweep, you know?
Yeah.
That's not very helpful because you may not get those reactions. Mm. Understand it conceptually, how to do it from the beginning to end, and then making your own timing and making your own methodology of attacking the feet in conjunction with the judo that you already do, that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck. And that's what this video is about.
Biggest ROI. Yeah. You love ROI. So
check out ROI,
All right, guys. anything else?
No, thank you guys for listening. Peter, good to see your face again.
Yeah, great seeing you again. And, you know, it's good to be back. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.